Good afternoon. Let's all stand. Grab your songbook as you do. 487. Sound the battle cry. We'll sing the first and the last. 487. On that first, sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on. Stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon His holy word. Rouse then, soldiers. Rally round the banner. Ready, steady. Pass the word along. Onward, forward. Shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. On that last, O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this afternoon. Another opportunity to be in church and hear your word preached. I pray now, be with the service, be with every aspect of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
No gym, no faith in family day. Work day 18th instead of the 25th. If you missed the nursery workers meeting, see my daughter. She probably has a list of stuff. Pardon me? I don't care where she is, but thank you for that information. Would you like to tell me where everyone else is? And Mrs. Ish is at the piano, and Bonnie is... See my daughter to get a list of what they've covered in the meeting. That's all we got. Grab that songbook and stretch your legs again. Let's stand.
Let's all stand once again. 496 in your songbook. We'll sing both verses. I owe it all to you, Lord. 496. On that first verse. You've been my friend for so long. You were right and I was wrong. I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have it be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. On that last verse, let's sing it out. Borrowed treasures, borrowed dreams, all last joy you've given me. When trouble comes, you're always there to make me smile. So come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you have me be. For I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened.
Brother Adam, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated.
That's quick, huh? Yep. Jump right into it. Amen. I told preacher, I said, I might break your record today. He says, oh, no. I said, well, we'll see. I don't know. So, what's that? Nabahapan. Okay. How about that? You know, that's not politically correct, so be careful. That's it. All right. Grab your Bible and turn to Jeremiah 29, if you would. I just want to leave you a little outline that hopefully will help you, challenge you a little bit. We're kind of messed up in our country today. And this is a little outline about what the Lord gave to His children for the captivity that they were going to face during the Babylonian captivity. They're in captivity already. If we backed up into chapter 27 and 28, you'd see where the Jeremiah counseled them to just go ahead and submit to the captivity. And then Hananiah came up, the seer, and said, no, that ain't going to happen. We're going to take back control. We're going to fight this. Well, then enters chapter 29. And read down through these verses here with you. And I just want to give you a simple little thought. It says, now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king and the queen and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, then Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that yet they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, I'm drawing an application from this passage of Scripture. Obviously, it's talking to the children of Israel in that Babylonian captivity. Maybe a twofold thing here, kind of a couple questions for you, or a couple thoughts in this little message here. And the first one is basically how to make it in the captivity. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I don't know of anybody that would not say, if you're a Christian or if you're a person trying to live for God today, you feel like you're in captivity in the land that we're in today. I mean, we are under so much persecution just for trying to believe what the Bible has to say and everything. And we're in this captivity, so he gave them a little outline here how to make it through the captivity, but then also a question for you, are we fighting God or are we fighting man? You say, what do you mean by that? All this standing up and fighting against everything, and I was just talking to a preacher before the service, I mean, do we really believe that the Lord is coming back again? Well, if the Lord's coming back again, there's things that are going to have to happen. And by the way, this country is going to fall. Amen. We're not in prophecy anywhere in the end time. So what's going to happen? This nation will not be known, or it'll be done away with. And if we say, even so, come Lord Jesus, then why are we fighting against what He's doing to try to bring it to pass? Amen. There's no question we're living in rough times as Christians today. I don't think that we can compare what we're going through with the real persecution that we read about in the Scriptures or that is taking place in many places around the country, around the world today. You think about what's happening in Africa today. and all the genocide that takes place continually, and Christians being just wiped out and done away with. We can think about the Muslim countries too. The Muslim nations around the world, they're trying to wipe out all Christians and kill all Christians. They're facing severe persecution. I don't know how much you think about or pray for Afghanistan, but we ought to be praying for the people in Afghanistan right now. I know people that are on the ground there, right next to there, and facing the persecutions, and they've already faced their people coming door to door to their houses and asking them to give their daughters to become soldiers for the Taliban. Yet they're facing real persecution. But we've been through a tough time too in our country. We're supposed to be the lighthouse, the beacon to the world. And look where we're at now. But the captivity has come upon us. So how are we going to be able to fight this captivity that's come upon us? Well, first of all, we're not going to fight it. And I want to give you five little thoughts here real quick. Look, number one, at verse number four. Verse number four, notice what it says here. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom, notice, I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. I just said this to preacher beforehand. I really believe that this this captivity that we're facing and what we're facing right now, the Lord is the one who has allowed it to happen and caused it to happen. Amen. As Brother Gears used to say, nod your little heads. Amen. This captivity has come because God has brought it. God's allowed it to happen. Do we believe that God's God or not? Do we believe He's on the throne today or not? And if He is, He's the one who's allowed this thing to take place. And by the way, due to the sin of the nation. What do you mean? Not due to the righteous people, but to the sinful nation. Amen. I think sometimes we look at, well, what did I do wrong? Hey, as long as we're where we ought to be, and as long as we're praying and staying right with God and doing what, hey, this captivity isn't because of us, it's because of a sinful nation. We're living in this sinful nation, and God's caused this to happen. Amen. You cannot escape the judgment of God. It's true. It's going to happen. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, that verse where it says in the ark that eight souls were saved by water. Now some religions take that and twist that around and say that that's how you're saved is being baptized. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that eight people were saved by the judgment that God brought upon the world. Can I tell you, we can be saved out of this captivity that's coming on too. We just keep our eyes on the Lord and keep going straight. Amen. He's the one who is ultimately over it to begin with. Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. America has forgotten God. That's why we're in the position we're in. That's why God caused the captivity to happen that we're facing right now. Amen. We can sit here and pray all we want to, preacher, and say, God, please bless America. Please bless America. Why should God bless America right now? Amen. America's turned its back on God. We took Him out of the school system in 62 and 63, took God out, took prayer out, and now we say, God, please bless us. Why? For turning our back on You? Amen. We're facing this because God caused it to happen because of a wicked, sinful nation. We didn't do our part too in the respect of not standing the way that we should. But remember about the captivity, number one, God caused it. Secondly, in verse number 5 and 6, notice it says, build ye houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters and that ye may be increased there and not diminished. The second thing I see, how we handle the captivity, remember God brought it, but secondly, remember you can still be prosperous in captivity. Amen. We can go back and look at the story of Joseph and how Joseph talked about when he was in captivity and what happened to him. He was still prosperous. God wants us to continue to keep on living. Amen. It's not like, oh, preacher, what are we going to do now? We're going to keep living like Christians. Amen. We're going to keep going forward. Hey, keep having families and keep trying to grow in the Christian life and be what we ought to be. It's not time to lay down and die. It's time to be a good witness and testimony. Live for the Lord. Amen. Just keep on going. Keep on doing what we're supposed to do. What about Daniel? What did Daniel do when he got put in captivity? He didn't just sit back and do nothing, man. He took a stand for God. Daniel chapter 1, right away, man. He took a strong stand for the Lord, and God blessed him in the middle of all that. What are you saying? I'm saying just because it seems like there's a captivity over us, God doesn't want us to quit being Christians. He wants us to keep living and doing what we're supposed to do. Taking the stand that we're supposed to take, living the life we're supposed to live, act like that everything's okay for us. Amen. Third thing is this. Look at verse number 7. It says, "And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof ye shall have peace." Third thing is we're supposed to be praying for the peace of our land. Amen. We ought to be praying for our cities. We ought to be praying for our country. We ought to be praying for the peace of it, that God would bring peace to our land. Why? Because in the peace thereof is where we'll have peace. Amen. How much do we pray for our country? Rather than ridicule all the time and everything that's going on, preacher, what about on our knees before the Lord and to pray for it? What about praying for our government officials? What about praying for the cities that we live in? What about praying that God would take us and use us in greater ways as we live the Christian life we're supposed to make an influence and an impact on others? The whole way to turn this thing around is get back to living the way that we should have and we should live and start having the influence over ungodly society rather than the ungodly society having an influence over us. That's where we're at today. But it can turn around. Amen. What are you saying? This is how he told the children of Israel to face the captivity. Hey, remember, I'm the one that caused it. You can still be prosperous. Thirdly, that you need to pray for the peace of the land. Fourthly, verse number 8. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." The fourth thing is simply this. Remember, be careful not to fall in the trap of fighting God and His will. What do you mean? Very easy, preacher, to fight against God and what God's trying to do in this matter. So a president doesn't get elected that we want to get elected. What if that's exactly what God's bringing to pass because of the judgment that has to come, because of the falling of the nation that has to happen? Are we fighting against God or are we fighting against man? All those people went to arms and took arms and everything to fight against. Hey, listen. Hey, I'm a patriot. I believe in this country. I was in the military for 6 years. I was willing to fight for our country. But this country will be done away with one time. Greater than that, I'm a citizen of heaven. Amen. And that's where I got to keep my eyes focused on. Amen. What are you saying? One day it will be dissolved. Hey, we need to stand and fight for, as I mentioned this morning, truth and right. That's what we need to stand on. But stand it and try to keep a nation that's ungodly and wicked right now, preacher? I don't know if we're headed the right direction. I don't know if we're not fighting against God if we do that. Amen. You could look back in chapter 27 and chapter 28 both, and you'd find again that Jeremiah prophesied and said, listen, submit to the captivity. Why? Because that's what God said. You know what? You've been an evil, wicked people. You've turned against me. You haven't honored me. And so you're going to be in this captivity. Just submit to it. You can still have peace. You can still prosper. But you've got to submit to the captivity. Be careful about not falling into that trap of fighting God and His will. And then number 5 is this in verse number 10. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That the fifth thing is simply remember that the captivity is for an appointed time. And listen, what has happened to us is for an appointed time. God's allowed this to happen for a reason. And there's always an appointed time on God's time chart and God's timeline about what's going to happen. You say, well, will this usher in the rapture? Very well could, and I'm looking forward to that. Very well could usher in the rapture. Amen. So instead of fighting against it, stand for what God wants us to stand for. Be every... Hey, I'm not saying don't be active, preacher. I send letters to government officials all the time. I'd send emails to them, tell them what I think and everything. I'm going to stand for what's right. But I'm not going to fight against God. Whatever happens, there's a captivity that's taking place, but God says that we can be prosperous in and through captivity. Amen. How do we do it? Well, what He said was remember that He caused it. He allowed it to happen. Remember that you can still be prosperous. He wants you to continue to live the Christian life and be what we're supposed to be. Third thing is to remember that we should pray for the peace of our cities and our land. Fourth thing is to remember to be careful not to fall into the trap of fighting God and His will. And the fifth thing is remember that the captivity is for an appointed time. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. I'm looking for Him to take me on home to heaven. But while I'm here, in the midst of a wicked and a corrupt and a perverse generation, I want to shine as a light and be what I'm supposed to be. Father, thank You for the opportunity to just share a few words this afternoon, Lord, with these dear people. I know they're tired. And Lord, I thank You for the good meal, and I thank You for the opportunity to be here today. But God, I pray that we would take to heart the simple little thought that You gave to Your people when they face captivity. We're facing a captivity of our own in the respect of a nation founded upon You that's turned its back upon You. And God, You're bringing some things to pass that we never dreamed could happen. God, help us to remember what You told Your own people. You caused it. You allowed it to happen, not because of the sin of the righteous people, but the sin of an ungodly, wicked nation. Lord, that we're supposed to keep living, not stop living, not give up, not quit, just keep on going. You're going to prosper us if we will, to pray for the peace of our land. God, to remember that we got to be careful that we don't fight against You. And then also that there will be an end to it all. Lord, we're looking forward to that day when You take us home to be with You. But until then, Lord, help us to live for You. Help us to be righteous and shine as that light that You want us to shine. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. If the Lord spoke to your heart about anything during that, the altar is open. Maybe you say, man, I just needed that. I hope it brought a little comfort to you because that's what it's all about. What He was trying to comfort His people in the captivity. And God wants us to know that we can make it with Him through the captivity. Father, please bless the altar time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Musician, please. God.